If you have your own copy of the scriptures with you, or you would like to use one that is in the pew, please feel free to do so. And turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to read down through verse 1 through verse 4. Give attention to the reading of God's holy and inerrant and inspired word. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. These four verses constitute, in my mind, one of the most sublime declarations regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ that you'll find in all of Scripture. I've listed them for you in your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, and I encourage you to use them in your own family devotions. But I must tell you that I've added one. So now there are nine. And if you would like the complete listing, the ninth one is entitled The Ruler of Angelic Hosts. The Ruler of Angelic Hosts. It's verse 4. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And I have a feeling that some of you looked over the entire bulletin tonight and you saw all of those points and you thought to yourself, my heavens, is he going to preach through all of them? You sinners, you. Well, don't worry. It'll only take about 10 to 15 minutes for each one. I'm sure you have nothing else to do this evening. And what a grand thing to sit at the feet of Jesus and feast on his word, even if it did take us a few hours. But I'm not going to do that tonight. We only have time to actually consider one of these that are listed for you, the fourth one, the fourth descriptor, where the writer reveals that Jesus is the brightness of his Father's glory. I'm indebted to Dr. Henry Morris, who is a Christian scientist, for some of what I want to share with you tonight, because some of it is a little bit technical. And I want us to focus on one amazing aspect of the incarnation of God in Christ. And that we find at the beginning of verse 3. The writer to the Hebrews says, he, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God. This is a unique descriptor, to say the least. The phrase, the glory of God, was first used in Psalm 19. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. But the word for brightness that is used here is used only once in all of the Bible. And it literally means the out-radiating. That's not really a word in our language, but that's the best that we can do in translating from the original. The out-radiating, radiating. And interpreters and translators have simply used the word brightness. It's a word picture that speaks of the energy that overflows or outflows from the sun, S-U-N. And that's fascinating because the sun, as you well know, is a generator of incredible amounts of energy. More, far more than is necessary to sustain life on this planet. But all that energy would be utterly useless if it could not somehow be transmitted from the sun to our earth. However, the incredible power of the sun, thank God, is transmitted through the remarkable radiated energy that we call sunlight. This is a cosmic descriptor. And yet it's also a divine inscriptor and descriptor. It's this scientific understanding which the writer is actually using in verse 3. And this is amazing because it's written long before men grasp the truth of this kind of celestial phenomena. As Dr. Morris says, and I quote, "As the sun's rays are to the sun itself, so is Christ to the Godhead." Jesus is the out-radiating of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He alone is the light of the world, as He told us and is recorded in John 8. He it is whose goings forth have been from everlasting, eternity past, according to Micah 5:2. He is the eternal one by whom the very creation itself, the microcosm and the macrocosm of all that is, it owes its existence the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. The Apostle John testifies to that in chapter 1 and verse 3 of his Gospel when he says, "All things were made through Him," speaking of Christ, "and without Him was not anything made that was made. His glorified countenance is," and I quote, "as the sun shining in its strength," according to Revelation 1:16. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the life-giving radiance of the ineffable glory of the triune God, from whom and from whose face the very heavens and earth will one day flee away, according to Revelation 20:11. Some 400 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Malachi wrote these words, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Sun of Righteousness," that is S-U-N, "arise with healing in his wings." And of course, it is messianic in its intent, and it is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word translated healing, healing in his wings, is literally outspreadings. And just as our sun radiates its light throughout the solar system, so too God radiates His grace and mercy in the forgiveness of our sins by the sacrifice of His only Son, that we will commemorate and remember as we share communion together in a few moments. Thus, the announcing angel on the plains outside of Bethlehem would say to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. Not a little joy, great joy. Because this Jesus, this babe, would one day set His people free. Philippians 2 may well be a parallel passage to Hebrews 1. Listen to what Paul tells this church of ancient Greece. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to be clutched, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How unutterably incredible is this, that the Creator of the universe, indeed of all that exists, moves from manifesting the effulgence of God's radiant glory to criminal status and capital punishment, being hung on a Roman cross like a piece of beef. This same one who radiates the glory of the Trinity actually, unbelievably, takes on human flesh in order to live a life of perfection that we can never emulate, and then offers Himself to the lash of a Roman whip, the ridicule and scorn of hateful, sinful people, while facing the ignominy of being impaled as He pays the penalty for our sins, and wonder of wonders, says from that very cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so it came to pass that He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The babe of Bethlehem has become the Christ of Calvary. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This too is what Christmas is really all about. May God add His blessing to that which we've shared together.